Chapter 13. In the very heart of Blue Deck existed the protected guts of our medical technology, the revival chambers. Inside each room was a single machine. Serviced by a gaggle of lab coat-wearing professionals, these machines were the most valuable resources our Legion possessed. The revival units themselves were, well, strange. They were part electronic, part biological, and part something else I couldn't hope to understand. These machines had the power to grow a biological entity within their guts, like intelligent wombs that could control their output consciously. The priesthood of bio people existed primarily to service the machines, to charge them with protoplasm, bone meal, and power. In a modern human legion, we didn't really heal the sick and mend the injured, we recycled them and rebuilt them from scratch. It was easier that way. The machines could reproduce a person by turning raw biological materials into a living being. After a period of time that varied somewhat, always more than 10 minutes, but never more than a half an hour, the machines could churn out a new human being that was a clone of a previously killed soldier. There were two astounding tricks to this technology as I understood it. One was their ability to restore our minds, as well as our bodies, to their original state. They did this by reading stored data. When I'd first joined the Legions, that data had been stored on a tiny silver disk like a coin. But now it was constantly updated on my tapper. Embedded in our bodies, tappers continuously recorded our mental engrams and the state of our synapses and neurons. What was a tapper, after all, other than a built-in semi-biological computer? Just like any mobile computer, tappers had a relatively small storage capacity, only enough to store a few quintillion bytes of data. That was enough, however, to record changes in our neural network rather than the entire thing. They monitored our brains for tiny alterations. Combined with the originally stored engrams in the mainframes, the revival machines could be used to rebuild our memories and personalities. As if all that wasn't enough, the second amazing capacity of the revival systems was the speed with which they operated. Hell, a human woman took 9 months just to grow a baby, and the average infant only weighed a few kilos. How could these machines work so fast? According to the speculation of our best science people, these wondrous alien devices could accelerate time within their confines, and thus gestate a full human in an unbelievably short period. With these combined powers, it was easy to see why they were so valuable. Imported from the core systems and paid for with hard-earned galactic credits, there were few devices I was aware of that cost more. Only starships like Minotaur herself were more expensive. With the critical goal of securing the revival machines firmly in mind, we penetrated the innermost layers of Blue Deck. Each meter of deck we stepped over in the core chambers was packed with death. All the bio people we found were dead. Some of the revival machines were damaged too, but apparently the aliens hadn't found them threatening enough to destroy. I was glad for that. When we broke through into the innermost chambers, I found Anne Grant personally. She was a bio who I'd had an affair with on my last campaign. She was slumped over her revival unit trying to protect it with her body as a woman might defend a helpless child. Her back was a patchwork of burn holes. Acids had penetrated her smart cloth uniform and sizzled into her flesh. Her fair skin was still smoking in places. "Damn it," I said, prying her clutching fingers from the maw of the revival machine and placing her gently on the floor. As I closed her eyes with my fingers, someone eagerly clanked past me to inspect the machine.
"I think this one is okay,"
Carlos said, tapping at the console. The revival machines were semi-biological, as I said, but they had an electronic data interface grafted on so humans could work with them. Carlos breathed hard as he checked the diagnostic data.
"I've got yellow bars on the fluid levels," he said. We'll have to fix that. And the free-floating nucleotides are all bound up. We'll have to dump this batch and do a full reset. But, Vet, I think we're in business.
I glanced up at him. I was still kneeling over Anne.
Don't worry about her, man, he said. Didn't you hear me? She's coming back. I'll bring her back first, if that's what you want.
Heaving a sigh, I shook my head. Let her rest for a bit. She had a bad death, I can tell. Get some other bio out to run this contraption.
You've got it. You feel like helping me?
No, I said, and strode out of the chamber. I'd personally operated the revival machines in the past, when I'd had to, but I wasn't like bio people. They practically worshipped these alien contrivances. I didn't even like them. They were disgusting, and if the truth be told, a little frightening. I'd always eyed them the way soldiers had eyed a surgeon's tools throughout time. Bone saws and sharp scoops designed to remove flesh purposefully. These things were instruments of the devil, in my opinion, and the revival machines were the worst of the lot. That said, the alien machines had also come to mean life itself to every legionnaire. We guarded them more closely than we guarded our own lives because they effectively made us immortal. I left Carlos behind because I knew what he was going to do. The dead would be used to reprocess into the living. We recycled our own corpses to form fresh ones in the guts of our wondrous, horrific machines. Like I said, they were disgusting and a little creepy. I didn't want to watch Carlos feed my former girlfriend into the blades to regrow her again. I'd seen enough of that kind of thing. Compared to the work of the bio people, our combat missions were nice and clean. All we did was kill people. We didn't grind them up and process them like raw sausage. Graves caught up with me outside the chamber. He had a glimmer of a smile on his face. That was a rare thing for him.
McGill, he said, you did a good job back there at the hatch. I knew you could take out that nest of aliens.
Thank you, Centurion.
I just reported into Winslade. We're the first unit to make it this far in, but more support from the cohort is on the way. The other cohorts are patrolling the rim, the engine room, and gold deck. There were numerous breaches, but none so critical as ours. Winslade is very happy.
I thought about that and nodded. I knew what Winslade was probably doing right now. If I had to guess, I'd say he was on the net chatting with Turov, taking personal credit for our hard-fought victory. Graves watched me and chuckled. I could tell he knew what I was thinking.
You're thinking about Winslade, aren't you?
Yes, sir, I admitted.
It's almost sad to watch you grow up, boy, he said. You're not the wide-eyed country bumpkin you used to be.
This can't just be a social call, I said, eyeing him back. Your orders, sir?
You're right again, McGill. I'm here to ask for a little more of your magic. I want you to cheat.
Blinking, I shook my head. How's that, sir?
Bump my troops up in the revival queues. We took this deck back solo, and we saved Winslade's and Turov's bacon, whether they want to admit it or not. I say our people should breathe again first, to hell with the automated queues and priority systems.
I nodded. I'll try, sir.
Just do it. I know you've hacked the machines before, among other things.
He left me then, and I stared after him. Just how much did he know about my unsanctioned editing of official equipment? Shrugging, I walked into each of the revival chambers, one at a time, and fiddled with the controls. Carlos and the other bio people that were filtering in from other units squawked at me, but I ignored them. I had orders from Centurion Graves, and I informed them they could take up the matter with him. They grumbled, but no one went out to find Graves and complain. They knew better than to try.